Yeah, I know, but the Blue Jays are scuffling.
Yeah.
Manoa is scuffling.
Well,
Guerrero Jr. isn't as good.
They've won four in a row. They're 73 in the last 10.
I think they're fine.
Right? The Twins, the AL Central's the laughing
stock. Well, they've got two great pitchers right now in their starting rotation.
Right, they are.
Sonny Gray being one of them.
And
another
Ryan.
Guy that no one knows.
Ryan.
Look at Joe Ryan.
Yep, Joe Ryan.
I think they both have 8 wins. I could be wrong.
Texas. To smash the Seattle Mariners.
And we still haven't seen their top pitching prospect.
Yeah. Bruce Bochy's coming out
Leiter's
here.
Leiter's kid.
Yeah. Leiter's kid's coming. And DeGrom's been hurt for most of the season. Well, he's killing my fantasy
DeGrom's
baseball team.
DeGrom's always hurt.
I know.
Evaldi's been a great pickup for them.
Evaldi's been great. And Gray. Gray's been legit.
Evaldi's been good at every stop. Like, honestly, like, I know no one wants to admit it.
Right.
Every stop, he's been good.
All right. So
he's hurt, but he's,
so you got
he's
that,
good.
Gray's been dealing, too, for the Rangers. He's, like, his last 6 starts, he's got, like, 2.81 ERA. It's been electric. Josh Young, third baseman, nobody knows about. This guy rakes at the hot corner. And Bruce Bochy coming out to Pat Booty Park in August. That's rotted, Hayward.
I don't like hearing
Pat Booty Park. Come That's on. Pretty good.
It's funny from a Dodger fan, not from good. You. when are they going to wear the 1980s jerseys?
Who's that?
The Giants. They've been selling them in the the team store. Like, when are they going to come out with those? I want to see the cocaine whites.
Well, look, you guys are cocaine. As you say, don't say Pat Booty Park. You say cocaine whites.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The Marlins, 32-28, 3.5 back of the Braves, being scrappy. All right, the scrappy Marlins.
I like
laugh
the
at them. They play hard, man.
Jazz Chisholm ran into a wall and banged his knee, and ever since then they've been on fire.
They've been on fire. The Brewers are in first place. The Pirates are right there. The Cubs got young players are bringing up left and right, letting them play. So I am having fun watching baseball.
It's been a great year.
And I am having fun. The Diamondbacks.
Your boy looks special.
Which one?
Come on, the guy they gave $100 million deal to.
CeCe.
Corbin Carroll.
There you go, CeCe.
Yeah, he is. He's so small, but the dude is a beast.
Yeah, they got player. They got players.
He is
down
a
there.
Beast. I watched him and Thomas hit a couple of just routine singles into the gap. And they legged them both out for doubles. I'm like, God, that team speed is unbelievable. I love seeing the speed in baseball right now. The athleticism has really come back.
I mean, Bobby Witt
Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Shift, best thing they could have done.
Best thing. Bobby Witt Jr. has 18 steals.
Yeah, he's
Ronald Acuña is still on the base every single day. Ruiz for the A's is still on base.
Do you know who leads baseball in bunt singles?
Who's that?
The San Francisco Giants.
I did hear that stat.
Isn't that a great stat?
That is a great stat. That is a good stat.
We did bunting practice yesterday at West Sunset.
How was that?
We really got to work on our bunting.
Come on,
West. Launch angle, we're good.
Practice win Tuesday, Thursday this week?
Yeah, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Wednesday's hitting at SF Baseball Academy.
Tuesday, what time?
Tuesday, 5 to 7.
5 to 7.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it. I'll be out there tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll come
let's
out
go.
Tomorrow? Yeah, I'll come out there tomorrow.
Nice. Laird Clothing. It's West Sunset.
Yeah, no.
You never know what you're going to get.
I may breed baby Tez, too.
Nice.
I actually just ordered her some toddler sticks.
Oh,
golf
nice.
Sticks.
Really?
Doesn't even know what's coming.
Nice.
Doesn't even know what's coming.
So let me guess. You went the highest quality, just straight Blade Titleists.
Most reviews.
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon.
Good for you.
Amazon
That's awesome.
Prime. Got over 7,000 reviews, 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
Ooh, put the order in, just slide
love
right.
Love it, love
comes
it,
right
love
to
it,
your
love
door.
It.
So you got to do that.
I had to assemble a ton of furniture over the weekend up at the cabin. And let me just tell you this right now. Your boy's back is ready to blow out because I was hunched over with the Allen wrench thingy trying to twist. And you know how you can't use normal tools because you can't squeeze them in there? Dude,
it's tough.
God bless you people that work with your hands every single day. You're just better people than I am.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to those people. Good morning to them. Good morning to all the graveyard shift workers. Good morning to all the truck drivers like Ron out there at Hayward. Who's going to visit Pack Oracle Park? I don't even want to say that. But I do want to say this. Good morning to all the strippers. It was a hell of a weekend. It's summertime, man. Everybody comes out. Everybody's visiting from out of town. Everybody needs a place to go at night. Nightlife is dying a little bit.
Oh.
She got some good places to go. So shout out to you guys. Good morning to you. Good morning to all the folks on YouTube.
I love
it. Comcast Business Text Line. Oh, I love it too.
I saw Guru got his box over
the
weekend.
He got his box.
So
he was texting me Saturday. He's on a soda diet now.
So soda stands for state of the art.
State of the art.
Okay. And what goes in? What comes in the box for those that are uninitiated?
You got a protein bar like this.
Okay.
And it's cookies and cream, high protein bar.
Okay. So it's basically that's like a snack?
It's a snack for you.
Okay.
You got cereal. You got the soup. soups.
Okay.
What else do you have? Oh, and chips. They can bring you chips, too. Gotcha. And they have these drinks. Fruit punch drinks, pineapple powder. Drinks, powder.
Okay.
Add some water to it, so maybe now, some ice.
Now, basically, they give you a box. How often do you get that box if you sign up?
So you get a box for the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then they resend you a box for a month.
Gotcha.
And then they resend you a box for 2 months. So I'm stacked.
Oh, wow.
I got nothing. But Guru brought the box here for whatever reason. I don't know why he brought the box.
Well, maybe he was just showing people off. And yeah. You've lost how much weight, if you don't mind me. This is an indelicate question.
No, it's not an
indelicate. I apologize.
I have no problem. For me, it's not. You can ask me about everything.
Well, I know, but I don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. You can talk about my weight. You can call me a fat ass.
No, you look phenomenal.
Call me a fat ass if you want to. I don't care.
No, you're not. You listen, look great.
Shout out to the ladies of Magic City of Blue Flame.
I saw some pictures of you guys at the wedding on Friday. You look phenomenal.
Yeah, that's right. I thought, see ahead.
You look phenomenal.
By the way, the wedding, Ramon and Rosanna.
Uh-huh.
Rosanna's beautiful bride. Ramon, shout out to him. Do you know the entire Groomsmen crew? I get there, right? And shout out to Big Boris, by the way. First of all, Big Boris.
Boris sounds like a bodyguard.
Well, he looks like a bodyguard.
Okay.
He's a big boy. He's bald, too.
Tell him to come with us to Philadelphia next time we go.
I'm not sure he's bald by choice, but he's bald. Big Boris. He comes up, you're Bonte Hill? And he's in my grill, right? I'm like, he goes, hey, I thought that was you. He goes, I wait for 6:05, and I wait for that old baby. And then my daughter, his daughter's 13 years old.
Oh, nice.
Daddy, turn this off. I don't want to listen to this. And so I walked up to the daughter. I said, hey, give Boris a break, man. He's a good dad. She goes, oh, I don't know about that. And I'm like, let him listen to the radio. She goes, oh, I do. I go, you can't stand those maniacs on the air. He goes, oh, my God, they're so crazy. They're always screaming. So, Big Boris. Shout out to Boris.
Thank you,
and
Boris.
And the entire Groomsmen crew.
Yeah.
Will... I forget some of the other names. God forbid me.
The There's story's a lot. Falling
listen,
apart.
Listen. We had a great time.
Oh, good.
Great time.
Very
Hit
good.
The dance floor.
Where was it?
Casa Riel Winery, Pleasanton, Livermore.
Oh,
in
so
that
beautiful
area.
Weather.
Beautiful weather. It was
really
nice
hot?
Out there. It was really hot.
Yeah, it was like 85 degrees in the cabin over the weekend, so I can only imagine what it was out there.
It was hot out there, but indoors for the... it was a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun, but a lot of roasters in the building. A lot of
Very
roasters.
Cool.
One of them, who's a Warriors season ticket holder, who's hanging with Boris, goes, I love it when Shasky gets on your nerves. When you get annoyed to say, oh my gosh, Shasky. I say, well, that happens every 5 minutes.
The straw.
Well, you're not the straw that stirs the drink. You're the straw that breaks the drink, that everybody spits out the drink. Anyway.
I'm the straw for your soda protein shake.
Gosh, it's... Need new straws here. Like the little paper straws just get soggy after 5 minutes.
Useless. Most useless invention in the history of mankind.
Especially when you do like a milkshake and the thing's falling apart. You're like, what is going on here?
Yeah, so I got a shout out to everybody.
You know,
the
other thing that I can't stand, that when you go to like sporting events now, they take the cap, and I know why they do it, because it's a safety hazard. If caps were on the ground, people could slip and hurt themselves. I totally understand it. Are we so uncivilized as a society? We can't bottle and put the cap back on our water bottles and on our drinks.
I took Benny to a Warriors game. I took Benny to a Warriors game, and that same thing happened to me, and I got two waters, and it's just me and a 3-year-old, by the way. How the hell am I supposed to carry all this? Trust him with one of the bottles? He's spilling it.
I had that yesterday.
Frustrates
me. I bought three waters yesterday. I had one in the front pocket.
Did they take the cap off?
No, they did not.
Huh?
Oracle Park did not take the cap off.
Interesting,
thank God.
Because I know Chase, they do it, and I get why. Believe me, I get why they do it.
I don't like that, though. I don't like it.
Me neither.
But I put all... I had like a water in my left pocket, right pocket, back pocket. It was a lot. And baby Chez likes to be held at sporting events because she likes to be tall and see everything.
Yeah.
She was on my shoulder. She was having fun.
Was she checking out how Casey Schmidt digs out a ball in the dirt?
She was checking out how he was striking out. She was like, boy, this guy is a slump. This boy is slumping. Let's go. I didn't come here to watch the Giants get shut up. She didn't watch Blake Sabol hit a home run.
He hit him to the deepest part of the ballpark.
Hit a bomb, and then she went to go run the bases out there in the left field. She loves doing that.
That's so cool.
And she made progress.
That's so cool.
Last year, she would hit the ball, and she wouldn't let go of the bat, and she would hit it again.
That's
like,
okay.
Hey, baby
like Chez Serrano.
You got to run the bases, baby Chez.
Yeah.
So this time around, she kind of ran the bases, but she kind of ran wherever she wanted to run to.
Well, when
which
you
is
hit
fine.
Home runs, you don't got to run the bases.
Yeah, well, she was hitting it the other way.
Tell her, like in softball, you hit a home run, you just jog to first.
So it was a lot of fun. By the way, Chris, too, out there at the wedding, he went to Jefferson High, and we started talking. His wife went to Balboa, but Chris went to Jefferson. He was on this team. You probably don't remember this. They had a guy named Nick Chenault on Jefferson High School football team. They actually lost to
SI. What year is this?
This was 99, maybe 2000.
Okay.
But Nick Chenault ended up going to Portland State. He was a stud. He was always on Sports Focus.
Okay.
Guy played safety, wide receiver. He was like legit.
Not on local sports.
It was high school sports
what was
focus.
Local
sports is way past school. Shout out to Isaac.
Yeah.
I ran into Isaac, by the way. I ran into him
about
at the Bruce Mahoney game at Keysar. Nice. He's got something. Come on, Isaac. I was like, Isaac, what's up? I held
Isaac
his daughter.
Lefkowitz?
Isaac Lefkowitz.
God, what a name.
And he had his daughter. I remember because we won Turkey Day. He took a picture with all of us because he was like, oh, Isaac, man, what's up? And I had his daughter. He was like, I remember that to this day. She's like, obviously 20 years old. She's probably in college now. So anyway, but he played for Jefferson High School. I was like, you know Jefferson had? He was like, I was on the team. I was like, you guys had a running back named Simmons. He was like, yeah. And I was like, you guys lost the SI in the rain. He goes, it was a conspiracy theory. He said he had a kid. They had a kid on Jefferson.
Was Scott Foster reffing?
No, check this out. He told me the story.
Spadoni.
He told me the story, dude. This is great. We'll get to the calls in a second. This guy.
Go ahead,
Malone! Can't play for Jefferson. Was on the team, and he was a big dude. Apparently, he was like 6'7", 280, whatnot. And he transferred to SI in the middle of the season.
Oh.
So he was on the sideline for SI during that playoff game. So he believes that that kid shared the entire playbook they had, basically like Bobby Boucher and Waterboy.
So it was like Gruden.
Basically had the playbook. Yeah, Gruden in the Super Bowl. Yeah. The Waterboy, where the other coaches stole. What's your boy Fonzarelli's name from Happy Days? Yeah, that was, he said that's why they lost. It was raining. Was that Keysar? I went to that game.
The fact that Vontae Hill just did a Fonzarelli, drop there.
Fonz. Boy. By the way, you know he played in Barry? And anybody watch the show Barry?
No.
Very weird ending on HBO.
On yeah.
Barry is good. Spinoni?
You're thinking of Henry Winkler, the guy that played.
Henry Winkler. Yes.
I was also in Waterboy.
Yeah,
also
Waterboy.
Also in Holes. Great movie there. Holes. Yeah. Shia LaBeouf.
No doubt. All right, let's get back to sports here. I think that's what's talking about sports.
But, no, that was sports.
But it was a lot of roasters at this point. I couldn't believe it. They were like, oh, man, what's going on? And they knew everything. First thing they go, who did Anna have lunch with to know that Bob Myers was leaving?
What?
I was like, damn, you guys are like really listening.
That's like going into the Reddit rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was like, boy, I can't tell you who that is, but Anna was full of herself saying, yeah, I got sources. And her source was right.
An Anna bomb maybe coming on to the show one time and telling us some news that's going to break?
She might be listening right now, please. I think the show's been doing well ever since.
A Novikov bomb?
Listen, she hasn't called the show in what? Damn, since my birthday.
Oh, wow.
I think their
September 15th?
Our number, yeah, there you go. Good memory. Our numbers have been so much better since that day she called.
Oh.
So let's just keep it like that. She doesn't need to call. You don't need to, don't do it, Lubbin. Let's go to Robin in the city. Robin, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Good morning, you guys. Get a pen and paper. I got a lot of content for you.
Oh, boy. Okay. Hey, Robin, come on, Robin. What's going on?
Okay, so I actually stole this from another show, but I wanted to present it to you guys.
And was it a show on our station?
It's Recycle.
No, it's late night. It's late night. I'm a vampire, too. I'm an early vampire late at night.
Gotcha.
But it was good because I've always believed when I'm getting ready to present one thing. So, but I do want to say this. We need to talk about, before I get to the real point, we need to talk about Ja Morant, what you guys think, Shannon Sharpe. Mike Dunleavy, we haven't touched on that. You guys didn't touch on Mike Dunleavy, Shannon Sharp, John Morant.
Well,
those subjects are still up there.
No, okay. Well, Robin, real quick. Mike Dunleavy Jr. is going to be the GM. We kind of...
Okay.
It's been setting up like that for months. When he does get announced as a new GM, we will touch on... We will be all over it. Trust me. You know that, Robin.
I know that. So here's the thing I wanted to say about the Warriors. A friend and I were talking, and we just like, you know what? Damn it, it's time for the Warriors to evolve. What that means, what that looks like, I don't know. But we came to the conclusion that both Kerr and Lakeham are both enablers because they want to hold on to the core and somebody has to go, okay? And because we feel like they enabled them and their crap, and that hurts the team, okay? So it's time for the vets to really show some real leadership, and we don't know if they can coexist with the youngsters because they're so arrogant, but they have got to evolve. And then the last thing I want to say about the viewership, that Miami game, that first game, they only got like 7 million viewers. When the Warriors played last year, they got like 11 million. That's a considerable drop. Everybody is raising, everybody's like praising Jokic, and he's good. He's fundamentally sound, but he's hella boring.
No, you know what Robin, you know what the problem is? As a media, as a entity, people who cover the league, they do a terrible job of promoting teams like that.
Just hear me out, though, real quick on this. the kids don't love Jokic the way the adults
they
do.
They don't.
I mean, I'm telling you. I'm around these kids. You know who the kids are talking about?
John Morant. Yeah.
They're talking about Steph Curry. You. They don't talk about Jokic like that. So,
I hear you.
I mean, that's, like, I'm just telling kids. I'm telling you what the kids are gravitating to.
But I think the league doesn't do a good job of promoting teams outside of the Lakers, Warriors, Celtics, Clippers.
Both can be true. Right. So let's, Robin, thank you. I wrote down everything.
Everything.
Vontae, let's do rapid fire on Robin. Okay.
All right.
In terms of what she brought up. I'm going to give you 10 seconds on each. John Morant, potential suspension.
Not good for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Shannon Sharpe breaking up with Skip Bayless.
About time.
Okay. Dunleavy Jr.
I think he could be a really good GM for the Golden State Warriors, but how much power would Joe Lacob and company give him?
Yeah, all right. Warriors, damn it, evolve.
Evolve. We've been talking about that. Evolve. Yes, we would like to see them evolve. No more 3-on-5.
Are they enablers?
One can say they were this year.
What do you think of their leadership? Can they coexist with the youngsters?
I don't know. They couldn't this year.
And last but not least, Miami, Denver, 7 million viewers. Hella boring.
I mean, listen, you don't have any household names here, right? Was Jimmy Butler a household name?
Not necessarily.
Is Jokic a household name? He should be. He's a two-time MVP.
Not necessarily.
You know, Hypeflix is right. What's boring about 40-10-10? The guy's averaging a triple-double in the playoffs.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, the kids don't think
they because don't he's not a high flyer.
That's what I'm saying.
I find him to be... I love watching
him. All love Olajuwon now. I'm not sure Olajuwon did that for youngsters way back when.
Oh, my
when.
God. Oh, I was huge Olajuwon fan.
But you're
yeah,
you know.
I'm different.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. Yeah. Like, I see the jerseys, right? And the kids love Steph. They love Ja. They love Trae Young, even though Trae Young's a flawed player.
That's a problem.
They don't love Jokic.
And that's
like
the problem. That's a problem. You like Trae Young and Ja Morant.
Bonte.
You should be like a Jokic.
You all want to eat organic, right?
Your kids at practice, they love Ja Morant, huh?
Yeah, well, they all do.
Well, when I come to practice, I'm checking all these kids and telling them why they need to love Jokic.
Bonte, I do it every
I'm going to scold these kids.
It drives me nuts.
I mean, they may never get to practice after I talk to them.
And then they all have changed their name in my, because like we have like a group thread. They're all Michael Timothy Guinasso. All of them.
What Tyler Miller say?
They all call themselves him.
Said Auntie Robin brought the PowerPoint today.
Dude, the PowerPoint.
Shit, it's sharp.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It was a 7-point PowerPoint.
Boy, Shannon Sharp got on. Got own. All right, real quick, let's go to, before we get to George Conso, let's get to Mike and San Jose.
I think it was a mutually beneficial relationship for both Skip and Shannon. And I believe that it ran its course, and now Shannon's going to, you know, fly.
Did you see Stephen A's video?
I do not know exactly why they broke up, but I understand.
But he has a home here if he wants to come to First Take.
Of course.
Mike, San Jose, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I'm just trying to keep it lighthearted, but Chef, you said you knew why that they took the bottle caps off the bottles, but I think you missed the main one. They just don't want you throwing it like across the arena and pegging someone in the head. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Okay, but you could still throw a beer bottle or a water bottle.
Like,
I hear what you're saying. It's probably less aerodynamic once you take the cap off, but I don't know. I mean, you don't take the bottle. Right. I don't know. I just when you're walking to and from your seats, it's very impractical.
Yeah, you could throw anything. You could throw the trays. You could flip the trays like frisbees.
But I think if the bottle cap's still on, you can like keep the cap on. There's like liquid in it that gives like the bottle a little bit more heft when you throw it. That's my dark thinking of it.
The fact that we have to talk
about... That's what I'm saying. Are we that low as a society that we can't...
Yes, we are that low.
Yes, we are that low.
We'll answer that right now.
Speaking of bottle caps, top 5 worst candy of all time. Just saying.
That is a terrible candy.
Horrible. When I got those in my Halloween bag, toss them immediately.
The root beer flavor is maybe the worst flavor candy in the history of candy.
Sweeties or bottle caps? In terms of chocolate.
Smarties, you mean?
Sweeties.
I thought they were sweeties.
Sweet tarts?
No, not sweet tarts. The little, like, chalky, rainbowy.
That's, Smarties.
Okay, yeah.
Smarties. Yeah, Smarties are
both terrible. Smarties,
I'll do those all day over bottle caps.
Yeah, both terrible. Eric and Alameda, get you on here before consoles. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, bottle caps, the worst flavor, root beer.
Yes, I just said that. See, I told you the root beer flavor is awful. That was disgusting.
Hey, guys, you guys need to give a little more love to college baseball in the Bay Area. You got the Stanford Cardinals.
We spoke about it.
One game away from going to the Super Regionals.
Yeah,
probably play Texas. And Stanford has been in the regionals the last 5 out of the 6 years.
No doubt. Hey, listen.
Talk about college baseball.
Hey, listen. Hey, listen. They're going to beat Texas A&M. They're going to, I mean, beating Texas A&M and then play Texas. And then the college women. Softball World Series coming on in 35 minutes. Get to your TVs, or actually, get to your TVs after 9:54. They're playing Oklahoma in the College World Series.
I plan on streaming Guru and Steiny.
And then having, yeah, today's a split screen day.
Double screen day.
Double screen day. Double screen day.
I'm a snob.
6 o'clock Stanford. Yeah, 6 o'clock Stanford.
Eric.
Winner take all.
Eric, how about you give some love to the women, though? The College World Series. Softball World Series. What about
diversify
that?
Diversify your portfolio of college sports, bro.
Oh, I mean, you just want to give love to the college baseball team. What about the women? They got it more important than the Final Four, Eric. Come on. We're talking regionals. We're talking World Series. All right, Eric. Good call. Good call. Giving love to everybody. Giving love to high schools, colleges. Nobody does it like the Rose when it comes to that.
Now I gotta go.
Now we gotta go. Now we gotta go. And what's coming up on the game sponsored by the law offices of Robert Goldstein is George Contos, former member of the San Francisco Giants, two-time World Series champ, now in NBC Sports Bay Area, and a boy can hit a golf ball a million yards. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, it's Tiger.
The stories I'm hearing about Contos on a golf course, oh, my Lord. And his shoe game is on point. If you have IRS or state tax problems and don't know what to do, contact the law offices of Robert Goldstein because resolving tax problems is all that they do. Call 1-888-TAX-EXIT. That's 888-TAX-EXIT.
Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Chesney. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph. Eat, learn, play. Eat, learn, play. Saw his charitable event. The golfers out there, the youngsters and everything like that. So that was cool. Steph Curry doing it all for the kids. I'm going to talk to George Conto about the San Francisco Giants who just lost back-to-back home series. Di Sclafani, not good yesterday. Alex Wood on the IL, not good. Logan Webb, tough luck loss Friday night, not good. Casey Schmidt struggling, not good. What's going on? Oh, Michael Conforto, hurt, heel injury, not good. Where are the Giants at right now? 29-30. Are they at where you thought they'd be? Are you having fun watching them? What needs to happen? Shafar Hamzaidi be aggressive? I wonder, Shasky, because a lot of talk was about him being aggressive, but let's get Contos on here. George Contos, of course, does a hell of a job at NBC Sports Bay Area. Love running into him down there. His golf game is immaculate from what I'm hearing. He's driving the ball 500 yards. I'm kidding. But World Series champ with the Giants back in 2012 and 2014. And, you know, Contos, I remember talking before the season. George, good morning. We were talking before the season about the pitching and the depth of the pitching. Right now, that depth is taking a big-time hit with Alex Wood going on the injury list. Di Sclafani scuffling yesterday. Where are you at with the pitching right now as the Giants head into Colorado for a big series against the Rockies?
Well, first of all, good morning, guys. And I'll tell you what, whenever you're scuffling with your pitching staff, that is not the place that you want to go to try to figure it out. You know, it's interesting. We went into spring training being very, very, you know, positive and confident in what our rotation was going to look like. We had a bunch of options. And, you know, with Ross Stripling's struggles and now him on the IL and then Alex Wood back on the IL, Manaea having to kind of figure a few things out. It's definitely a little bit concerning because what's going to end up happening is you're going to have your bullpen picking up the slack on that. And the bullpen's done such a great job. But if you wear the bullpen out early, those dog days in August and September when you're hopefully trying to grind for a playoff spot, that's going to come and it's going to pay. It's going to take its toll and pay its dues then.
I mean, do you think that they have they have to look outside the organization to find some more pitching? Because, I mean, I'm looking at some of the in-house candidates, and Stripling and Manaea, and I mean, it's just, you know, and I know they want to bring up Harrison at some point, but it's a lot of pressure for the young man who hasn't been extended that deep into a season like they're expecting him to be at some point this year. Do you go from internal or do you look outside the organization?
Well, I think you always want to keep what you have intact first and foremost, right? So if Ross Stripling comes back, hopefully he gets healthy. He's able to come back and figure it out. Sean Manaea has looked promising. He looks a lot better than he did early. Kyle Harrison, I know all of the fans and everybody wants him to be the third the third member of the prospect group to come up and make an immediate impact. He hasn't thrown more than four innings in AAA, and he's walking almost a guy an inning. And I know that there's a ton of energy around him. I'm just not sure that you're ready to bring him up right now and get his clock going. And the last thing that you would want to do is bring him up, not being extended, have him struggle, and ruin some of his confidence, because that is going to be very detrimental in the long term. He's going to be a star. We know the stuff's there. We know the mental makeup's there. I would try to keep it internal. You got a guy in Jacob Junis who can start in the bullpen. The guys at the top have been very, very good. Other than, you know, DeSclafani kind of been a little bit hit and miss.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one on Harrison, because Bonta and I have been kind of kicking that around. The one guy who really feels like he's in the zone right now, Camilo Duvall. I mean, he had that bat against Rushley, however you pronounce his name. I always mispronounce it. And he was up 4-0 in the ninth inning. It's not a non-safe situation. I mean, Rushland is literally choking up at the bat, just praying to hit something foul. He looks so dominant with the cutter, sinker. I don't even know which one's which, at 100 miles per hour with that slider. I mean, if he gets that high velocity command, he feels unhittable right now.
For Camilo Duvall, for me, it's always going to be his fastball command, because he's one of those guys that prefers, and at least in my opinion, I have not spoken to him about this, but from what I've watched, he's a lot more comfortable throwing that slider. And it's devastating when you have 100 miles an hour plus under the hood, and you have to respect that when you stand in the box as a hitter. So when you're fouling off 100, you're fouling off 102, you swing and miss at 102, then he throws a 91 mile an hour slider, you get swings and at-bats, like Rushman looked like the other day. When he pitches with confidence, being the NL reliever of the month, he tied the most saves in a month in Giants history. If he could just tighten up his fastball command a little bit, and it's not bad, but when he falls behind in counts sometimes, I see him having a lot more confidence in challenging with that slider as opposed to challenging with that fastball. And I'd like it to be a little bit the opposite if we're nitpicking for perfection. But the guy's been dominant.
Yeah, no doubt. George Consol's here on the Morning Rush on 95.7. The game does a hell of a job on Giants pre- and post-game live on NBC. Of course, won a couple World Series with the Giants back in 12 and 14. Let's talk about the youngsters for a second. Casey Schmidt and Patrick Bailey. I've been very impressed with Patrick Bailey behind the plate, handling the pitching staff. His bat has been surprising, has some sneaky speed. But Casey Schmidt, Chaska and I were having a dialogue earlier today about Casey Schmidt. In the last 2 weeks, hasn't gone his way at the plate. Should we be concerned about his bat? What adjustments does he need to make moving forward here? Is he batting just .235 over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you saw Casey Schmidt come up first and then Patrick Bailey, and they both came up with such excitement. I mean, he was tearing the cover off the ball. He was just hitting everything, home runs, exhibiting really good plate control, hitting fastballs in the other way, keeping his hands inside to outside. And they were a huge driving force in that last 2 weeks of May, and the record that they have and the success that they had. But to your point, they've cooled off. I'll start with Patrick Bailey. He's come up and looks like a big league veteran handling the staff.
Absolutely.
He's cool, calm, and collected back there. I heard Buster Posey give an interview on KNBR just saying that he has that maturity from a young player and that confidence that you like to see that not many guys have. So on the catching front, I love the way he frames the ball. He starts with the glove down, and then he brings pitches up, which is the best way to steal strikes on either fastballs or breaking balls. If you can have your arm momentum going up as opposed to going down and then trying to bring it up, that's when umpires kind of see that and they don't give you those calls. But at the plate, you knew they were going to cool off a little bit, and that was going to be the biggest adjustment that they were going to have to make, is when the league sees them a little bit. Now going to Casey Schmidt, he has the highest chase rate in the big leagues. He's swinging at over 50% of pitches that are out of the zone. That is incredibly too high. And that's going to be his main adjustment that he'll have to make, is zone and plate discipline. He's so excited up there. He's still feeling great. He's seeing it like a water balloon. And he wants to be aggressive and he wants to hit, which is great. But you really have to swing at good pitches. Patrick Bailey, I'm not really worried about as much. He's exhibited some really good plate discipline from both sides. I think he'll be just fine with the bat handling itself. Casey Schmidt has got to just clean it up and swing at better pitches, in my opinion.
I would agree overall, but don't you think we've gotten a little overboard? I mean, this guy's a rookie. he's his first 4 weeks in the bigs, and I don't feel like he's getting overmatched the way Joey Bart got overmatched early on. And I'm seeing the guy, yes, he swings a lot. I don't dismiss that. But, like, we're acting like he's getting overpowered and he's batting in the 100s. I don't know. I feel like we're just always looking for, not you, but I'm just saying people in general are always looking for flaws. And hitting with two strikes is an art. Plate discipline, some guys develop it at later points in their careers. Like, I want him to be slightly more discerning, but I also want him to be aggressive and swing at those first pitch strikes. And I don't know. I feel like we're trying to poke holes in the young man's game right now.
I mean, look, if you want this guy to be around for a long time, you have to identify what the flaws are. And there's no doubt he's not going to be overmatched. He can hit high velocity.
Yes.
He can hit bad breaking balls. But what I've seen is he's up there looking to swing and being overly aggressive right now. And to your point, he's been up for like, what, three and a half weeks, whatever it was. I mean, the league is going to get to know you at some point, and the making of a good player, at least from my viewpoint, is how they adjust when the league starts seeing them and they make adjustments on them, because they're going to struggle. And how you bounce back from that struggle, Joey Bart, I think, is a little bit of a different story in that he had so much pressure on him following Buster Posey at the big league level that I think Joey's might have been initially a little bit mental, and that kind of took a little longer for him to get comfortable. Casey Schmidt came up and he looked like he felt real comfortable right from the beginning, which is great to see, but you always like to see how guys bounce back from their struggles. And I'm not saying he's struggling yet, but he's trending down pretty quickly in the batting average department.
George Consuls here on the Morning Roast. Before we get you out of here, we lost home baby yesterday, Roger Craig, at the age of 93, a four-time World Series champ. Of course, for Shasky and I, that was our first manager as Giants fans. You know, 7 years old in 89 when the Giants went to the World Series against the Oakland A's. Did you ever get to meet home baby? Any stories? Did you ever shake his hand? What you know about Roger Craig, who just left us yesterday?
I did. I got to meet him a few times over my 11-year kind of tenure now with the Giants. And the thing that kind of sticks out the most outside of him coming in 85, I believe, after a 100-loss season, the only 100-loss season, I think, in Giants history in the San Francisco era, and then came back and won 83 games the next year. But last year when Will Clark got his number retired during the ceremony, Humbaby put a little video together on the big screen, and he said, you know what, congratulations, but if you'd have listened to me, you'd have been even better. And you could see what kind of guy he was, and he liked to poke fun, but there was a little bit of seriousness in that comment. So I got him, obviously, when he was a little bit older, and the Giants family definitely lost a great one yesterday.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, they did. What are you feeling right now with the Giants overall, right? Don't you feel optimistic about them? We were kicking this around. I'm just curious. Yeah. This has been more fun than I anticipated this year.
I am optimistic based on how they've played since the middle of May. But I think we could probably all agree that right there in the middle of May, they were firing on all cylinders with all aspects of the game. Starting pitching did well. The bullpen has been absolutely dominant, and you guys have heard me say it for years. The team is only going to go as far as that pitching staff, bullpen, especially late in those games. So getting the ball to Camilo, I think that this month is going to be very telling. You got some games at Dodger Stadium, then you come right back home to face the Padres and the D-backs, and you can really make a huge dent, good or bad, in your season with that homestand. But you got Toronto. Baltimore just came in, and I think we saw what a dominant bullpen looked like. You got the Mets. This is going to be a really crucial month, and I think it will be very telling as to what the Giants will do at the trade deadline, which is still August 1st. It's a mile away. But you can make really big strides in either direction based on the performance of this month.
You know, George, I'm with you. 9 of the next 12 on the road at Coors Field. You know how tough it is to play there at Coors Field. Wacky things happen in that big ballpark. At St. Louis, the Cardinals are starting to play a little bit better. You know, they're going to be up for the Giants. And then, of course, you mentioned the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Blue Jays north of the border, and then the New York Mets out in New York City. And, oh, by the way, you come back home 4th of July weekend and play the Mariners. So we're going to know a lot about this team over the next month, and we'll continue to watch you, man. How's the golf game going these days? I heard you was out there with Willie, man, just tearing it up in the city recently.
we played a couple times. We played out at Round Hill, and then we went out to Chow Club, played some golf, and, oh, man, I'll tell you what, golf game's pretty good. I'm sitting kind of around a plus 0.5, so I'm a little dangerous right now.
Yeah, well, you're not taking my money, George. You want to take Sasky money, be my guest.
No, I'll take those handful of strokes on either side. That's no problem. That's an equalizer. I love getting strokes.
Wait, hold on, real quick. I gotta look you up.
I'm always the candy man on the golf course.
No, I gotta look you up, my boys, in 1985 gallery with the shoe game, man, because I see your shoe game, but they've laced me up with some new J's. We gotta share some stories there, but 1985 gallery, I gotta put you on to them, George, because they'll take care of you, man. I'll have you looking real nice.
I would love that. I got some new drip for you. I got them Travis Scott's, mochas, and the olives. I'm not sure if you've seen them, but no, I got them just for you, baby.
No, I know. You were telling me about them. I didn't really want to see them because you made me jealous when you told me you were getting
Scott
them. And
mocha.
Yeah, I know. George is on another level, man. You're doing such a great job with Laura Britt and Carlos, of course, up there at NBC Sports Bay Area. We really enjoy your coverage and your insight. And, yeah, you like those, Sasky?
Those aren't bad.
Those aren't bad.
They're nasty.
They are nasty. George, good stuff, man. Appreciate the time today, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Anytime. George Consol's here on the roast. Man, he's a really good dude, man. He's a lot of fun. Remember, he came into the set in NBC Sports. We're doing a Warriors game. He taught us how to putt. Mine lipped out. I'm really excited about golf right now.
So you golf left-handed, though, right?
Yeah.
I was just curious on that. Why did you perk up when he was talking about the chase rate on Casey Schmidt?
No, I'm just... Listen, man, it's a talking point. Here's the deal.
Do you know what the average chase rate is in baseball?
No. I don't.
Know what chase rate means?
No, I'm asking. Swinging outside of the zone.
Okay.
Swinging outside of the zone.
I'm asking you right now. What is the MLB average?
Probably 60% in today's game.
Nope.
What is it?
30%, give or take.
30%. Okay.
Right now, he's at about 50%. All right.
That's not good.
Well, again, but just real quick, I'll let you go. Like, you don't get the 97-mile-an-hour double in the Saturday game if he doesn't chase a little.
I hear you.
So there's some give and take. The highest, chase rate, quote-unquote, was Pablo Sandoval in Giants history, recent memory, was Pablo Sandoval's rookie year. All right, he chased on like 55% of pitches. Yep. And he hit like 25 jacks, 90-something RBIs, and batted .330. Now, Pablo, for a variety of reasons, never got to those numbers again. But in terms of a rookie coming up and being aggressive, I love it.
Right, so this is
Estrada chases at 42%.
This is what I find happening right now with you. And you don't have to do this. And you can disagree with me if you want to. I get it. You love Casey Schmidt.
No.
I want the young man to hear me out here.
Nope.
Hear me out here before you cut me off.
Keep going.
No. Before you cut me off here. All we're saying is we want this kid to be great. But he has some flaws right now. And all I said earlier today was I wanted to see how he adjusts. The last 2 weeks is not good.
Okay.
And this can continue to spiral. And all of a sudden, he looks overwhelmed to get into his own head. And boom, it's about to Sacramento. It's about not letting him go back to Sacramento.
Well, he's not going to. He's going to be fine.
If he continues to hit like this, he's going to be back in Sacramento next month.
His bat's not going to fall off that hard. Let me ask you this question.
Come on, man. I'm just saying. We can pick apart. I get it. He's one of your favorite players right now.
No,
you got a lot of stock in this guy. Yeah, but
you swing at pitches early in the count.
Contos is a major league baller.
He's a pitcher. Pitchers are different. And I'm not
saying he was in the game and he covers the game and he knows the game. He's forgotten more baseball than we know. All he's saying is that chase rate at 50% is not good.
You've never even heard of chase rate till this year.
No. They talk about all these analytics all the time. How are you going to tell me what I've heard about, Shasky? Why do you get mad about this?
Two strike counts. Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, would you say they're great hitters?
Absolutely.
Do you know what they batted in their careers
with two strikes?
But hold on.
I don't give a damn what it was.
125.
They're going to the Hall of Fame. Casey Smith's chasing on first and second pitches. He didn't even get the two strikes before he's chasing.
Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols.
What is the chase rate at 0-1? What is the chase rate at 1-1? What is their chase rate at 2-1? You keep talking about two strikes here. We're talking about one strike, two strikes. This guy's chasing throughout his at-bats.
He's making hard contact. He has 76% hard contact rate on those chases.
And he's batting .235 the last 2 weeks.
League average.
And he's batting .235 the last 2 weeks.
This is a team full of streaky hitters.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're losing our minds over a rookie.
Nobody's losing their mind.
Here you go again.
We criticize a young man to say, hey, he's got a flaw in his game. And you went crazy. You went crazy on a minute question. Console said, hey, look. Patrick Bailey, I'm not too concerned about. Casey Schmidt is chasing that ball outside the zone, left and right, 50% of the time. Whether it's two strikes, three strikes, one strike, I don't give a damn.
I will go to my dying bed saying I would rather have a guy, especially a young player, be aggressive and try to pick out pitches. We don't know what his philosophy is going into the batter's box. They might be telling him, hey, against this pitcher, I want you to swing early and often when you see fastball, when you see slider. Like, Gabe Kapler has answered this question from our guy Sam Lubman, and Gabe Kapler, who's the manager of the team, basically scoffed at the question saying, guys, that is literally the approach we've told him to go with into the batter's
box. You're jumping down my road. Who cares about everyone? I don't care about strangers on Twitter. I don't care about what people on Twitter are saying. I asked you earlier today, what adjustments does he need to make? And you go down this rabbit hole, well, he's a rookie, just let him play. All I'm saying is, if it continues, I'm not worried now, I'm not outraged, but if it continues, and the data is showing you that he's getting worse here at the plate.
Stretch, I know it's a two-week stretch.
All I asked you is what adjustments.
If he was 0.95, I would be like really worried.
I asked you what adjustments he needed to make, and you say, stop going crazy, it's okay. All I'm asking for adjustments he needs to make at the plate.
He now needs he's to just show baseball up every pitcher. Day and catch the ball the way that he has, and the bat's going to be fine.
Okay, you say the bat's going to be fine.
It will.
Talked about
it'll
50%
even out.
Cut. All right, I hope so. I hope so.
I would much rather have his plate discipline in terms of being aggressive. I'd much rather have him jumping early in counts than what we saw from Brandon Belt throughout the career that he had. Like, I'd much rather have my middle infielder going up there with an approach and trying to swing out of his shoes, because that's the modern game, swinging out of your shoes.
I love it. I love the aggressiveness. I'm always been a fan of, hey, strike out with the bat, not on your shoulders. Swing that bat.
When you get into two strike counts, all right, the game is much more difficult because the zone expands. Even in the pitch cast era, the zone expands and you have to change your approach. I would rather these guys going up there first, second. Like Estrada's having
a great year. What's happening early in the at-bats?
I know, but Estrada's having a great year. Right. He's 8% less of a chaser than Casey Schmidt. No one's talking about Estrada that way.
Well, you know what's funny is we totally ignored when Gabe Kapler was on with us. Gabe Kapler was on with us 2 weeks ago. What did he say about Casey Schmidt? We need him to shrink his zone. He said that. And I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Now I'm going to watch for that. And now I'm watching him, and he hasn't shrunk that zone. He hasn't at all. Whether it's two strikes in the count, one strike in the count, he's not having good at-bats. And all I'm asking for is
disagree.
What the adjustment.
I think there were some great at-bats. Because he's 4 or 5 pitches minimum, which is above league average. If he was getting overpowered in 2 or 3 or grounding out weekly, I'd say, you know what? B, you're on to something. When I watch the at-bats, they look infinitely better than what the numbers are showing.
I'm seeing some at-bats where he looks overwhelmed. That's all I'm saying. I want to see the adjustment he makes. I'm excited about the kid.
He struck out on 5 pitches yesterday in 1 at-bat, and he fouled off 3 of them. All right, and straight backwards, which means you're on someone. You strike out, and so the box score shows a strikeout. But like to me, it's like, oh, my eyeballs are telling me, dude, he's right on this guy.
All right, that's good. All right, that's cool. George Contos, all we're doing is reacting to him. And all I'm saying is, by the way, you got some news here in a second I'm going to pass along. All I want to see him do is make adjustments. Because the goal for me, if it's Casey Schmidt cannot go back to Sacramento. That cannot happen.
I don't think he's going to. Like, with Crawford's going to bat 190, who's been on this team forever, and be defensively for his standards, then I don't see Casey Schmidt going anywhere. Casey Schmidt's going to stick around.
Okay.
And yeah, if he gets below the Mendoza line, then I'll say, all right, here we go. Now, would I like him to sprinkle in some walks? Absolutely, I'd like to sprinkle in some walks. But right now, early and often, I'd much rather his aggressive approach, especially early in counts. I'm all for that because he has a plan up there. How many times for the last 5 years have we said, what is the giant plan up there?
They all have a plan.
And when you have someone like Lamont Wade Jr. at the top of the lineup, who walks as much as he does, I don't necessarily need an entire lineup of guys who aren't up there swinging. I like the diversity of at-bats. When you go Lamont Wade leading off and he takes a ton of pitches, that wears the guy down early. Then Estrada comes up when he's healthy and he's swinging. And so that to me kind of mixes and matches the lineup. I like it.
It just feels like you're going crazy. If anybody pushes back and say, hey, Casey Schmidt's chase rate, and look, I personally don't give a damn about chase rate. The advanced analytics, like I saw yesterday, right? There's a stat, Sunday Night Baseball, Yankees Dodgers, the war leaders in the National League, right? The war leaders. Get this.
And let me guess, Austin Slater's at the top.
No. Juan Soto was number 2.
Yeah, and he's having a horrible year.
A horrible season.
Yes.
So you could miss me with the numbers and all that stuff. You miss me with all
that. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. made an entire career of being a bad ball hitter.
Right.
And he was like a 40-something percent chase swing
guy. So Chase Schrake, when you bring it up, and I hear people bring it up.
Do you barrel the ball up?
I don't.
Do you think he's barreling the ball up?
I personally don't care about that.
But is he barreling the ball up?
Yeah. When he gets contact on the ball. Right now, he's not getting a lot of contact.
Well, again.
He's not getting a lot of contact.
He chased a pitch Saturday and hit a ball off of one of the best pitchers in the game.
All right. He's not getting a lot of contact right now. Not getting a lot of contact right now the last 2 weeks. That's all I'm saying. And George Gontel said that.
His barrel rate is 76%.
You know? So I didn't perk up. I don't want the kid to struggle. He's playing for my team that I root for. Why would I want Casey Smith to struggle?
I just think we're so, like, this team has had so many streaky players. Like, we watched Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt for 10 years go 2 and 3 weeks ice cold, and then they'd snap out of it. That's baseball. You go through, you know, good at-bats, good streaks, bad streaks. It comes and goes. If he falls below, like 180, 190 over a 2 week period. Now we've got a problem. And he's not drawing walks. Right. Now we've got a problem. And he's striking out. And he's not barreling the ball up. Right now, the defense is not affected. He's elite defensively. I mean, he made a play going into the hole at second base that, I mean, only like a couple of guys in the league can make that play. I think he's looking really good right now.
He's 2-4 his last 19, 6 strikeouts. All right, 2-4 his last 19, 6 strikeouts. And how many walks does he have this season?
I think he's got one.
He's got one walk.
Yeah.
He's got one walk.
How many did Matt Williams, in his first full season after Matt Williams had how many in a 700 at-bat season?
Don't know.
He had 33 walks and 140 strikeouts. And that's Matt Williams. Now, Matt Williams hit for power, different player. Right. But, like, we've got to be patient a little here. We've been waiting for young players to come up. Let the kid have a couple of months before we deem anything crazy. Like, I think right now he's totally fine.
All right. Shams Charania is reporting this. Shams Charania. Athletic. Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James in attempts to see if LeBron James would come to Dallas. Irving LeBron is a free agent this offseason. So you get LeBron, Luka, and Kyrie in Dallas.
Can they afford that?
There's a will, there's a way.
Mark Cuban. Who's the coach there?
Jason Kidd.
That's
who was
right,
the assistant
Jason
with the
Kidd.
LA Lakers and has LeBron's total respect. Also played together on the Dream Team.
So LeBron's not going to stay in L.A. Interesting. What do you think of that?
I don't think LeBron
is
in L.A.
How does that fit when they all need the ball?
Well, first of all, I look at it like this, too. He moved out to L.A. His son's playing at USC. Don't you think LeBron James wants to be around for that?
Well, I mean, does a freshman want their dad to be breathing down their neck? I don't know.
It ain't up to the kid. It's up to the
family. No, I know, but I'm
LeBron's
just saying,
the parent.
I know a lot of kids that are 19 right now that have gone away, and they're like, I want to be away from my parents.
Well, he didn't go away. He stayed L.A.
I know.
He stayed L.A. LeBron's on the Lakers. Bronny stayed in freaking L.A. to play at USC. So that's number one. I think about that.
How does Luka like that?
And what would the Lakers and what would the Mavericks give up?
I don't even know what they have to give up.
You're going
to
give up Christian Wood? Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Doesn't he need a contract soon?
Who?
Or did he just get
LeBron?
One? No, Christian Wood.
He's got big money. He's got money left on his deal. There's no way LeBron James. This is all a ploy. Kyrie's going to L.A.
You think Kyrie's going to L.A.? Yeah. And he's the free agent?
Yeah, he's going to L.A. Come on, man. He's going to Hollywood.
Is he really going to team up with Kyrie again?
I think so.
Well, the reports too last week was that the Lakers would prefer to do a sign and trade with Dallas with D'Angelo Russell. And Dallas like, we don't want him. Who wants D'Angelo Russell to sign and trade? It worked for the Warriors because D'Lo's like stock was still kind of, you know, he didn't play enough with the Warriors then. It didn't fit.
Come on.
But now after
Russell
that playoff right series, like his stock is not
that
high.
Do you want Kyrie?
I mean, I'd rather have him over D'Angelo Russell if I could have the two.
And Schroeder?
Yes.
Wait.
So Christian Wood, you know what? Christian Wood is a free agent.
See, that's what I thought, because they traded the first round pick for him.
That contract is done. Wow, so he's a free agent, so you can't get rid of him.
It would be like a big sign-and-trade deal.
Dallas.
What's Dallas's cap situation?
Well, I don't think it's good because, Hardaway Jr.'s got still, he's got big money. I know he signed like a 4-year, $70 billion deal. It may have even been last season. All right, so we're pulling up to Dallas Mavericks right now because the NBA all season's about to heat up here. So Luka, he's got 5 years left, $215 million. Bertans, Davis Bertans. Oh my God. He's in the midst of a 5-year, $80 million deal.
Woo! Money time! Money time!
Wow.
So five for 80, that's less than 20. Well, I was like 16.
So he's making 17 next year, has a player option a year after. Tim Hardaway Jr. has 2 years left. 17.8 the next season, 16.1 the year after. Then he's an unrestricted free agent. Reggie Bullock. Looks like he has 1 year left. Maxi Kleber, 3 years left, $11 million per. JaVale McGee, $5.7 million left on his deal. Then he has a player option for $6 million. Then he's probably going to retire from the league. Yeah. They may be able to fit in the slot here. Now, you got to pay Kyrie Irving money, a max deal. I would be careful of that. I would not.
I just don't envision Luka, Kyrie, and LeBron James playing together. Like, what does that look like?
A lot of bad defense right there is what that looks like.
I didn't even think of defense. I was just thinking of offense of the ball hogging.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Now, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and LeBron makes more sense to me.
Yeah, that's what's
in terms of basketball than Luka. I don't know if I'd want to play with Luka. He's great. I'm just saying as a teammate, it feels like hot potato. It feels like James Harden all over again.
So Luka can't play off the ball. LeBron can't play off the ball. Kyrie basically can't play off the ball.
Mm.
That's a pipe dream. To me, LeBron is basically saying, all right, Kyrie's talking to me. L.A., let's pony up. Let's pony up. Now, how can L.A., Spadoni, how can L.A. fit Kyrie Irving if they're paying Anthony Davis and LeBron James max money?
They can do that. Kyrie would have to take a little bit less than probably what he would want, but if he's come joining the Lakers and wants to win a title, that's fine. But then you have to lose your depth. Hachimura is probably gone. Reeves is probably gone. Like, that's the thing you're sacrificing. What made this Lakers team so great were those trades at the deadline, right? Totally changed everything about them, and they got younger. Now you're sacrificing your youth for the future, for an old player that, let's be honest, kind of questionable character at times.
Boy. Oof. Whoo-wee. Yeah, I don't see that happening. 888-957-9570. That doesn't even scare me here.
Like, if really?
No. LeBron, Luka, and Kyrie together? Sure, Guru would say, the highlights. But
the highlights?
Yeah, but that doesn't... That.
Would you take Christian Wood on the Warriors?
No, absolutely not. Oh, my God.
Plays no defense.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
A big who can score?
No. I
like Christian Wood, but not on the Warriors.
I don't like Christian Wood at all. I don't like Christian Wood at all. I think he's a little overrated.
And if you're the Lakers, and I think what was floated out like right after they got knocked out was like they're going to try to pursue Trae Young. I actually could see that making more sense just because he's only 24 years old and you would pair him with Anthony Davis. Like, I could believe that. You would be giving up picks. You'd be probably giving up Hachimura, Reed, like signing trades and stuff like that. You'd be giving up a bunch of stuff.
Why would Atlanta do that?
Well, they
just
maybe
to get rid of him?
Well, yeah, they're probably rebuilding. Like, do you believe if you're Atlanta, you're thinking that Trae Young's not that guy to build you a championship team?
You got a new regime.
New regime, yes.
Lakers Schlenk is not gone. Running the show.
Yep.
Grant Lifman doing some scouting for them. Slink's gone. They got to get rid of John Collins, too. They just need to rebuild. This iteration of the Atlanta Hawks will not work.
Jordan Poole for John Collins?
No.
I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I just wanted to see your head explode.
I'm not going to explode. I'm just going to say no. Don't bother me,
man. What
about
LeBron for Jordan Poole?
Sure, why not? Why not?
And combinations.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
You would not want LeBron on the Warriors.